If you want a little wisdom, listen to Rabbi Brian. Rabbi Brian!
Hi, this is Rabbi Brian. I'm glad you're listening. The five qualities of spiritual life. Please enjoy this sermon that I gave live in West Lynn, Oregon on April 22nd, 2018.
Introduce to you our speaker, our guest today. Our speaker is Rabbi Brian Zachary Mayer. He grew up on the small island of Manhattan. He studied architecture and magic. He excelled in school and all things rational. But he was destined to, despite what seems to him his own free will, he was destined to become a rabbi, and he did. He full-timed at a mainstream congregation for close to 4 years before dropping out. He transitioned back to school, picking up another master's degree, this one in education, and teaching inner city kids mathematics, life, and love. After moving here to Portland, where he taught at De La Salle North Catholic, his calling urged him to serve an even more needy community. Intelligent, rational folk who struggle some with spiritual fitness. He does so through writing and speaking for the nonprofit Religion Outside the Box. Rabbi Brian writes a newsletter, I love this, the 77% Weekly, that delivers spiritual nourishment to thousands of people a week, 40 out of the 52 weeks a year, directly to your inbox. And by the way, there are forms in the back for if you want to sign up for these wisdom biscuits at the back of the congregation, please do. By the way, there are some absolutely fun workbooks back there. I can hardly wait to get into one of them. Today, Rabbi Brian addresses our congregation of intelligent, rational folk on the five elements of a spiritual life. And so you know, he returns annually to Tannen's Magic Camp, where he is the Dean of Instruction. So we have a lot going on today. Rabbi Brian Mayer, yay!
Well, good.
You get organized and I'll get you a mic.
I can do this.
Okay, great. I'm out of here.
I've been asked to come here to preach to a group of people I do not know. Don't know me. Somehow, though, you've asked a rabbi to come speak to you. I'm certain many of you are familiar with speaking to rabbis, well, one in particular. I thought that was really funny. Either you laugh or he'll do that. In this case, you get to hear one rabbi speaking back. The word preach is defined as to publicly proclaim or teach, and that's what I'm here to do. To preach, to proclaim, to teach, to earnestly advocate. I know what I want to preach about. I want to help people as best I can to live more spiritually fulfilled lives. I want to help turn this world away from hate and greed to help people to find love, surrender their worldly ambitions alone, and to find and be with the God of their understanding. I want to help people to nourish their spiritual hunger. And then it says here, cue t-shirt cannons. I am, to quote the Blues Brothers, on a mission from God. And then it says, fire t-shirt cannons. The five qualities of a spiritual life. A rabbinical school, I read a philosopher by the name of Eric Fromm, and I fell in love. He opened my eyes. His book, Ye Shall Be Gods, showed me that religion, true religion, was not solely about how things happened here in that religion was not only about what happened in the there and then, but that real religion was about the here and now. In his book, The Sane Society, published in 1955, he preaches words, unfortunately, that are still true today. And I will quote, "Modern man, if he dared to be articulate about his concept of heaven, would describe a vision that would look like the biggest department store in the world, showing new things and gadgets, and himself having plenty of money with which to buy them. He would wander around open-mouthed at this heaven of gadgets and commodities, provided only that there were ever more and newer things to buy, and perhaps that his neighbors were just a little less privileged than he." Religion, as you know, real religion is not about acquiring the newest things, nor is it about living in this world with the hope we will be rewarded in a world to come. No, real religion, real true religion, is about being the spiritual vessels for ourselves. It is about more. But what? What more? And Fromm lays out five qualities of the spiritual life that I would like to share with you. He says that a person living a spiritual life has the following five qualities. People living a spiritual life have a hierarchy of values. The teacher in me lives on. That people living a spiritual life live a life where there's a demonization of the ego.
To the stick figure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The third, that a spiritual life is marked with a sense of unity. Fourth, a spiritual life is a life in which there is transformation. And fifth, the spiritual life, this is my favorite visual, so enjoy this one. The spiritual life is a life in which questions are valued as greater than statements. The list is not exhaustive, nor is it necessary. One can have a perfectly great spiritual life without knowing about this list of five things. You might notice, as I've noticed in our liturgy here this morning, that the tricky G-O-D word is not mentioned. And that's fine. Nonetheless, I would like to mention the G-O-D word for two reasons. One, I like to. Two, the better we understand a framework about what the word God means, it can better help us understand what we mean by this word. And the second reason will tie us back to the five qualities of a spiritual life in a moment. I'm going to explain the five different aspects. This is a work of Dr. James Fowler. He talks about spiritual development. When my children were born, each of them, they were born without kneecaps. This is usually the part of this talk that people remember most. I find that unfortunate. The truth of the matter is, you were all born without kneecaps. Kneecaps come around later. That's why kids are really excellent at crawling, and why you all have a memory of somewhere between 8 and 12 years old of spending time just playing with your kneecap, because they were new. The reason I mention this is because we understand quite well that there is a development physiologically in our lives. Similarly, we have intellectual and spiritual developments, and I want to explain spiritual development to you. The first step of spiritual development is what Fowler refers to as magic. My daughter, when she has a nightmare or she is scared that there is a monster under her bed, that is because there is a monster under her bed. Little kids live in a world of real magic. To my daughter, I am a giant. They have a very different world. Magical thinking is real. We move from, and I'm going to skip a little bit, but we move from magic to a sense of dependence. Dependence is the next faith stage. Dependence is a stage where it's written in the Bible, therefore it's true. These are the rules to the game. That's how we must play. 180 degrees from dependence is what's called independence. Independence is where people say, There's a logical, reasonable understanding for everything. For example, the stories in the Bible, the
parables.
That's just fantastic. I would come back to what I was just saying. Independence is where you look at the Bible and you say, oh, the Nile didn't become bloody. It was that there was clay in the water and it looked red. And then the frogs, the next plague, those came because they couldn't live in the Nile with all the clay in it. And then there were flies because all the frogs that had... That was me that time. There were frogs because they couldn't live, and then the lice came because of the frogs, and then the boils came because of the lice. There's logic, there's reason. We understand this is independence. We all know some engineers and other rational folks who are stuck in this stage of independence. And we also all know some people who are stuck in this stage of dependence. The next stage afterwards is my favorite one. It is called paradoxicality. Paradoxicality is the idea that there can be something on one side of a coin and something on the other side of the coin, and they do not cancel each other out. Paradoxicality is the idea that something can be both true and not true. Paradoxicality is the idea that you can be right and disagree with me, and I can be right too. Paradoxicality, and Jung talked about the paradox, and the paradox is our greatest tool for understanding a spiritual life. That a paradox is when two things are crashing against each other, and they lead to a new truth that was neither of the two. I'll give an example. Often in a church, there's a communion. Paradoxicality is the ability to use dependence and independence at the same time. Paradoxicality says it is the body of Christ and it is just a cracker. And paradoxicality is the ability to have both at the same time. I've not met 12-year-olds who can understand, fully understand, that the opposite of something that is true can also be true. There is a God, there is no God, and they can both be true statements at the same time. My favorite phrase on paradoxicality comes from Rabbi Simcha Bunim of Pesichta. I had to think about his name. That's a hard name to remember. And he said that we should all have on us two pieces of paper in our pockets. And I've done the same thing, but I put it on a little wooden coin. And he said on one of the pieces of paper, we should have the phrase, I am but dust. We should know we are meaningless. And on the other side, we should have the phrase, for my sake, the world was created. That we understand both are true. I am nothing and everything. Paradoxicality. And this makes it more fun. Hold out your hands. Here, everyone gets one of these. Pass them around. Pass them back there, and you can make sure everyone gets one. Okay, so we were at magic. And then we got to dependence, and we got to independence, and then we got to paradoxicality. Now, I also know as a teacher that if you hand out snacks or a toy, it's really hard to keep everybody's company. But that's on me. And we go from paradoxicality to the namesake of this place, unity. And Fowler says, after you hit paradoxicality, you get to a time where you realize that there is connection in the world. And I will add one thing to Fowler's faith stages. He says that unity is the highest calling for somebody to develop. Fowler did the faith stages linearly, and you might notice that I gave them to you in a circle, because what I have found is that unity starts to look a lot like magic again. And that when you get that sense of connectedness, when you understand you have free will and you don't,
it starts to feel yet again like little kid magic.
Wow.
Oh, good. Joe, you make sure you get me too. Hold on. Get back to my notes for a moment. Ah, one more note. People will often hold themselves back a faith stage. And you can know this. We know people, and there have been brilliant books, and they're compelling, and you read about these fundamentalists.
What is that?
I don't know what that one
is. Is that you?
It is. I have no idea what it's
I feel like I'm on a quiz show. I'm going to say the right word, and like a duck will fall down, and I'll have a cigar. It's great. People will hold themselves. We read about these people who are stuck in a community of dependence where the Bible is written this way and they know better. Let me do it better. They know better. But they can't leave because it's too scary to leave your faith stage. And I know people who are stuck in independence. And they're stuck, and you might know these people as well, who are so rational and logical that they can't let go to enjoy a sense of paradox and unity and magic again. Hold on to that. We're going to come back. Back to the faith stages. There are five. There's a hierarchy of values, a demonization of self and ego, a sense of unity, transformation, and that questions are more important than answers. We'll go through one at a time. Hierarchy of values. People who live a spiritual life live in a world in which values are hierarchical. I like having money, but the ethics with which I use to acquire that money are equally important and must be recognized. People who live a spiritual lives live according to a hierarchy of values. Can I get an amen? Is that allowed here?
Amen.
All right. Divinization of self and ego. People who live a spiritual... Do you like the handy?
Yeah.
Or visual aids? People who live a spiritual life know that this is not about the aggrandizing of the self. The spiritual life, a friend of mine put it like this, in 9 words, he summarized the spiritual life. It is not about me, and it's not about now. Give an amen to that one.
Amen.
A spiritual life is not about self. It's about selflessness, compassion, care, and love. Third quality to a spiritual life, a sense of unity. People who live a spiritual life know that there is more, that there is a sense of holy, a sense of wonder, a sense of connection. I was told that in Hawaii, some people don't see that the water between the islands separates them. Instead, they see that the water between the islands is what connects the islands. What if we see the world that this isn't what separates me from you? But this is how we're all connected. Unity. Spiritual life is not about creating boundaries. It's about finding connections. 4. What was this one?
Transformation.
Good. Transformation. People who live a spiritual life know that they're not here to transform the world as much as they are here to be transformed by the world. I like that so much, I'm going to say it again. People who live a spiritual life know that they are not here to transform the world. Rather, they are here to be transformed by the world. And as my friend Larry will say, it is transformed people who transform people. In the words the internet has attributed to St. Thomas Merton, if the you of 5 years ago doesn't consider the you of today to be a heretic, you are not growing spiritually. And here I am going to pause. A long pause. The kind of pause where you might wonder to yourself, is the rabbi gonna throw us down that rabbit hole? Or rabbi hole? I am. Let me repeat the words Thomas Merton never said, but it's still attributed to him. If the you of 5 years ago doesn't consider the you of today a heretic, you are not growing spiritually. It's about transformation. And I will ask you, in an odd rabbi meets unity group becomes a revival meeting moment. Ready for that one? Are you open to being transformed? Now let me be very clear about my verb. I'm not saying, have you been transformed? I'm asking, are you here now, willing to go from wherever you're still holding on to the next place? Are you willing? I'm scared about doing that. I know where I am in my spiritual journey. And I know where I need to go next. But I still have a rope that moors me to the dock. How many of you have that similar rope? Thank you for your honesty. Let me see your hands. How many of you still have and you know you need to be a little more spiritually transformed than you are right now. Let me see your hand. All right, now let me do it. No, don't put your hands down yet. I want you to take your hands and to that rope and go, bye-bye. You willing to do that? Are you willing in your spiritual journey, wherever you are at this moment, to say that today on Earth Day, having been so moved spiritually, you're willing to say, all right, Spirit, do what you will. You get what I'm saying. I can see it in your face. It's like, I want to have done that.
Yeah, right.
Hemingway was asked if he liked writing. And he says, no, I like having written. Let me start with the easier side. Yeah. Do you want to have been transformed?
Yes.
Yes.
And the next question is, are you willing to be transformed? It's easy for us to move and look at the guy who's still stuck here in dependence and go, I'll get over it already. But can we do that with ourselves? And I think the answer is...
Yeah,
yeah, kind of, sort of. I'd like to say yes, Rabbi, but really, that scares me. Good. Well, we know where our homework is. Good. And I only had one more. The last one here was? Questions being more important than statements. Finally, people who live spiritual lives know that questions and wonder and mystery and not knowing and being willing to let go of that mooring rope. People who live spiritual lives no. As Werner Erhard said, understanding is the booby prize. Do they always make noises like that?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Spiritual people know life is a mystery to be lived, not a puzzle to be solved. Questions are what lead us to transform. Questions are what lead us to seek unity outside of ourself. Questions are what makes us constantly reflect that we are, in fact, our highest values if we would only live them. The five qualities of a spiritual life. They are?
Hierarchy of values.
They are?
Diminished.
Diminishment of selves. I don't want to hear only the same voices, but y'all doing good. Spiritual people are living in
unity.
That was an easy answer.
Spiritual people transform. And finally, spiritual people. Y'all want to try it a little harder? There are five qualities to a spiritual life. The first one is
hierarchy
of values. The second one is
diminishing
the self. How well are you doing? Third one,
unity.
Transformation and
questions
more important than answers. Good. Let me conclude with this. Hierarchy of values. Do you commit or will you recommit yourself to living your highest values? Will you seek love? Stop complaining. Seek peace? Stop belittling. Will you pick up the trash in your path, metaphoric and real, and throw it away because it is the right thing to do? Do you work towards love and acceptance? Diminution of ego and self. Will you put others before you and not make it about you? Will you recommit to a sense of surrender to being like the least of these? Sense of unity. Will you commit, recommit to see a connection to the divine, to the holy? Will you recommit to seeking out that which connects us and try to diminish that which separates? I think a yes would be good.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, let's go number four. Transformation. Will you recommit to being transformed, even if we know how uncomfortable it is to metamorphose? Will you commit to being more in a state of unity, even if it means surrendering your sense of self and ego?
Yes.
And finally, valuing questions more than statements, will you recommit to knowing, like Nicholas of Cusa, that the only thing we know is how little we actually know?
Yes.
Will you recommit to knowing that you don't know understand very little?
Yes.
I will conclude with what is, I think, one of the most beautiful prayers ever uttered. And I commissioned an artist to put it on, I commissioned an artist to put my seven favorite prayers all on different greeting cards. Those are in the back. But I will read this one. This is from Taifur Abu Yaziz al-Pastrami. He said the following. It usually doesn't get a laugh. Okay. Here's what he said. He said, for years I would say, do this and give me that. But when I reached the shores of enlightenment and wisdom, I said, God, be mine and do what you want. Can we have an amen?
Amen.
Unity, I thank you. God bless you.
I'm Rabbi Brian, really glad that you listened to this. If you like this, please go over to rotb.org, religionoutsidethebox.org, or Google Rabbi Brian, find out lots more about Religion Outside the Box and how we nourish spiritual hungers. Hey, did you really like this? You want to make a contribution to help me to do more of this work? I'd certainly appreciate it. Anyway, also, please, the newsletter, sign up for that. It's absolutely free, comes to your inbox 40 out of 52 weeks a year. Much love. Thanks. I'm Rabbi Brian.